But it doesn't matter. It's only just this moment. It's very simple. So it's very simple. Very simple. So Subhuti says, will people believe this in the future? And the Buddha says, don't ask about the future. Why are you asking about the future? If someone gets this right now, even if they don't understand it, they're not supposed to anyway, but if they get something, that means they'll get it in the future. If you get it now, you'll get it in the future. Because past, present, and future, it's the same point. That's all. So it's not difficult. So, this last part of it is actually more interesting. Anyone who keeps a separated I, a separated ego, a separated personality, a separated individuality, cannot be considered a true bodhisattva. A bodhisattva is without I. The nature of bodhisattva, the nature, our fundamental nature, our true self, our nature before thinking, has no I, has no ego, has no separated individuality. It's the same nature, just like water. There's no separate H2O, even though there's water in this cup, and water in this cup, and water in this cup, and water in this cup. It's not separate. Substance. H2O here, H2O here, H2O there. It's the same H2O. Okay? So, your fundamental nature and my fundamental nature, it's the same nature. That's all. So, but anyone who makes a separate nature cannot be considered a true bodhisattva. So, in this last section is very interesting. This is the reason why the Tathagata always teaches this saying. This is probably unique in religion. My teaching of the good law, my teaching of the Dharma, is like a raft. Buddha teaching must be let go of. Also, non-Dharma teaching should be let go of faster. So, Dharma is just like a raft. This teaching, this Diamond Sutra, is just a raft. It's not better than you. It's not better than you. It's just like a raft. So a very famous Zen master was very cold one day, and he was with some students, and they were freezing, freezing cold, but there was nothing to burn. So he took the Diamond Sutra. He took the Diamond Sutra, and he started, you know, we're taught we must keep the sutra above the head, don't put it on the floor, don't sit on the sutra, don't write in the sutra or something like that. But this master was very cold. He started tearing the piece out and putting it in the fire to make the fire. And then someone came and said, oh, teacher, what are you doing? That's the Diamond Sutra. How can you do that to the Diamond Sutra? Are you crazy? And he said, I might be crazy, but I'm also no longer cold either. So the Diamond Sutra is just a raft. It's just a vehicle. It's just a finger pointing at this fundamentally empty nature. That's all. Okay? So, letting go that he talks about is not just this Diamond Sutra, but this whole teaching. The whole Diamond Sutra teaching is letting go of self. Let go of this idea of I. That's a teaching of the Diamond Sutra. A separated I. Letting go of I. Letting go of this teaching too. Yeah? Not this teaching only. Let go of this teaching. That's all. And let go of even emptiness. Subhuti is attached to emptiness. And the Buddha says, even let go of emptiness. So, let go of everything. Anyway, you can't hold anything. You can't hold anything. So the Diamond Sutra is just a vehicle so that you see that. That's all. Okay? Chapter 7. Subhuti, what do you think? Has the Tathagata attained the consummation of incomparable enlightenment? has the Tathagata teaching to enunciate. Did the Buddha get Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi? So Buddha answered, as I understand Buddha's meaning, there is no formulation of truth called consummation of incomparable enlightenment. Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. Moreover, the Tathagata has no formulated teaching to enunciate. Wherefore? Because the Tathagata has said that truth is uncontainable and inexpressible. It neither is nor is not. Thus it is that this unformulated principle is the foundation of the different systems of all the sages. So, already the Buddha in the previous chapter, he told Subhuti to let go of dharmas, to let go of teachings, to let go of any kind of rule or religion. And faster, you should let go of non-dharma teaching. Immediately, like a raft, let go. Let go of Buddhist teaching, let go of any idea, let go of the Diamond Sutra, let go of I, my, me, let go of all of it. Very interesting. But Subhuti is very interesting. He's still attached to emptiness. Everything is nothing. Everything is nothing. So very interesting. One thing, this Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, this supreme, what is it called in English? Consummation of incomparable enlightenment. There's many kinds of enlightenments we can get. Okay? Everyone gets enlightenment every day. If your eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind are open, many kinds of enlightenment. The dream you had, the dream when you're dreaming, you're with your old friends from school and you're having a good time, you're walking up in the mountains and you're listening to that song from high school and there's your good friend and he's appearing again, although he really died, but there he is and you're walking together. When you wake up, that's a kind of enlightenment. You woke up. You realized the dream is not real. Many kinds of these sorts of seeing through a reality. So I like, Mr. Sungsan once told this story about someone in a dream who says, where's my head? Where's my head? Where's my head? Sometimes in a dream, you have a dream that you have no head, or that you have no arm, or that you have no leg, or that you lose your family, or your car, or your house. And then you wake up and you realize you had it all the time. That's a kind of enlightenment. So, very interesting. This Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi is considered an enlightenment above all enlightenments. It's the highest, highest kind of enlightenment. So Buddha says, very interesting. The Buddha asks him, what do you think? Do you think that when I got enlightenment, I got something? When I got enlightenment, I got something? You know, I like nowadays, even our Western Zen students, they judge a teacher by whether they have something. Oh, they got something. We say this in English. Oh, they got something. We always say this about someone who maybe didn't get a kind of insight. Western people. We say, oh yeah, that teacher, oh, they got something. They got something. We even say that. It's very interesting, even how in English we make this mistake. Oh, they got something. And then we judge whether the person is really enlightened. Some of our teachers, oh, they didn't get something. So this is saying, I didn't get anything. To get real enlightenment, you don't get something. You don't get some special power. So the Buddha asks Subhuti that. So it's very interesting. We say cloud. That's a cloud. Real enlightenment means, when we see that's a cloud. When we're kids, when we're children. Ah, that's a cloud. Cloud looks like a tiger. Maybe like an elephant. Maybe like an alligator. Maybe like a pig. Maybe like a bird. We think cloud is real when we're on the ground. Everyone thinks a cloud is real. Then when you're old enough, you take an airplane. Cloud. I remember when I was a kid and I watched airplanes going into the cloud. I thought, wow, they're inside a cloud. Maybe it's all fuzzy and cute inside. I wonder what it's like. Is it a big room? The cloud. But then when you actually get into an airplane and you go into a cloud, it's not there. There's nothing there. It's just water vapor. So, before enlightenment is like seeing a cloud, thinking cloud is real. Then attaining this enlightenment means seeing there's no cloud. Cloud is empty. So, this Buddha's enlightenment is seeing no cloud. No cloud is real cloud. No cloud. That's this no enlightenment is real enlightenment. So many people think this enlightenment is something special, but the Buddha hits that. Buddha is not something. Enlightenment is not something. If it is a thing, it's not real enlightenment. My teacher said it the best way that I ever heard. Someone asked him before his enlightenment, your mind before enlightenment, your mind after enlightenment. What was it? And Zen Master Sung San said, before I got enlightenment, I saw sky is blue, tree is green. But after I got enlightenment, I saw that actually, in truth, sky is blue, tree is green. It's very simple. So, if you want to understand what this means, that Zen Master Sung San teaching is very to the point. What is enlightenment? The sound of that fan and the sound of the piano. The feeling of the fan on my face. That's all. Sitting here talking to you. That's all. It's not a thing. It's not a special, separate thing. What are you doing right now? That's it. It's very simple. Too simple. Next, chapter 8. The fruits of meritorious action. Now, the previous chapter, chapter 7, is all about like merit. How do you make merit? People are always looking of merit, getting credit for something, getting credit, merit, getting paid for something, getting the right approval for something, people agreeing about what they did. People want credit, merit. We all want it every day. But the Buddha has some very interesting teaching about this. Even you wish for merit. And everywhere, not only in Buddhism, in our daily lives, when we do something nice for people, we expect something back. If you do something nice for people, you expect something back. That's why Sōsan Desa said to monks, if you accept boshi, you should accept it like a sword in you. You should accept boshi from people as if it's a sword going into you. Don't accept it like, wow, thank you. Because it means probably they want something. That was Sōsan Desa. So, everybody wants something. But the Buddha says in this teaching, in chapter 8, don't expect anything. Because it's empty. Anyway, something will happen. But most people's suffering is that they don't get what they want from what they give. Very interesting, Zen Master Sung San, when he used to give these Dharma talks up in the high rostrum in the Korean temples, especially in Los Angeles and Hawaii. He used to sit up there and he would be giving a talk and there would be chanting beforehand. And when he was doing the chanting, some of the bosanims would be like, they'd come up in front and they would take out this money and he would put this money on the altar. Chanan. And in the middle of his talk, he would say, hey, look at these stupid people. All of you are praying for your son to get into Seoul National University and you only put chanan on the altar. What do you expect? He said, all of you want your children to go to Seoul National University, but you only put chanan on the altar. What do you expect? Very interesting. Right in front of them, they would go, oh my goodness. Then they would take out more money, and he would say, that's even more foolish. So, the Buddha talks in this section of the Diamond Sutra about the emptiness of merit. the emptiness. Actually, getting your child into Seoul National University is small merit. It's a small merit. Yeah, in society, it seems like a big thing. But in the Buddha way of looking at this universe, life after life after life, Buddha sees this big view, many lives. So, getting credit to get your kid into Seoul National University, that's a small merit. So let's look at it. Subhuti, what do you think? If anyone filled 3,000 galaxies of worlds with the 7 treasures and gave all away in gifts of alms, would he gain great merit? Subhuti said, great indeed, world honored one. Wherefore? Because merit partakes of the character of no merit. Merit is empty. The Tathagata characterized the merit as great. Then Buddha said, on the other hand, if anyone received and retained even only 4 lines of this discourse and taught and explained it to others, his merit would be greater. Wherefore? Because, Subhuti, from this discourse issue forth all the Buddhas and the consummation of incomparable enlightenment, teachings of all the Buddhas. Subhuti, what is called the religion given by Buddha is not, in fact, Buddha religion. So, material charity is empty. Sorry, but it's true. Material charity. Empty doesn't mean useless. Empty doesn't mean pointless. Empty doesn't mean hutten. It doesn't mean that. When we say Boshi is empty, and when we say the gongdok from Boshi, the merit, the virtue from Boshi, when we say that is also empty, it doesn't mean hutten. It does not mean that. It just means you can't grab it. You can't hold it. You can't keep it. You can't measure it. You can't expect it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. But everybody wants to. They want some good, 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 good. Oh, you are great. You are great. You are great. Wow, you are wonderful. Oh, now I will like you. It's very interesting. There's this story of this monk, and he was a very great monk, very Kunsunim. Everybody loved him. Everybody, wow, he was great Kunsunim in Japan, and he always came out, you know, everybody, the nice clothing. You know, the Japanese style is like, you know, silk and shining and very nice, you know, this very nice sewing and very beautiful. And another, you know, you have a thing like this with another thing like this and something like this and yeah, 18 things like this going around like this. And you hold this little like this and you have this like this and these little boots with the little shoes on the bottom of everything's like this and silk upon silk and rare beads and silk and 15 beads like this and coming around like this. Very elaborate. And the people would, when he was in these clothes, and then when he came to bring beautiful gifts, and they would give him lots of money and lots of prizes and gifts and good food and everything. And he didn't like that. So one day, the professor, who was the leader, he went to the professor's house, and he wore all this broken clothing, and he let his beard come out like this. His beard came out. And he was very dirty and didn't wash and wore this completely broken clothing like this, you know, completely dirty and torn. Tore his clothing, tore it up like this, you know, and all dirt. He just took dirt from the ground and put it all over his face. And he went to the professor's house. And the professor, who really loved the Kunsunim, but the real Kunsunim was supposed to cook for dinner. But the Kunsunim, he put himself up like this, and he came to the door with his begging bowl like this. And he went, and they opened the door, and they said, oh, what do you want? And he said, I would like to see Professor Nikamato, or whatever. Professor Kokomuki, or whatever. I would like to see Professor Dukabaka. And then, he's not here, he's very busy. And they said, I am a humble begging monk. I am hungry. Please, do you have something to feed me? And they said, he's very busy right now. He cannot. He said, please, it is very cold outside. I am very hungry and cold. Will you please, please, please feed me? Please let me come in for 5 minutes. And they, okay, come in. And they brought him in the house. Just sit over here. Sit down. We'll bring you something. Just, okay. And he bad smell and his clothing very dirty. They said, you just sit here. And he sat there. And then Professor Kukumoko came by. And yes, what do you want? I'm a very poor monk. I do not have a temple. I'm very hungry. I'm very cold. I would like to come to your house. I am having very important people are coming here tonight. I do not have much time. I am sorry. Just eat a little bit of this. And he said, yes. Yes. And he ate the food. And they all waited. When will this dirty begging monk leave? But it was the same Kunsunim. They didn't know. Then he ate his food. And I'm sorry. I am a poor monk. I am very sorry. And then I'm sorry. I will go now. Yes, please, please. We have some people are coming. And he left, and they're cleaning up. Then he went outside. And then he went out, and he went into the bushes, and he put his nice clothing on, and washed his face, and put all his nice clothing on, and put his hair back, put his bald head back like this, and everything very kind. Came to the door. And he's standing there as, you know, the great Kunsunim. And they said, oh, Kunsunim! Kunsunim, well, in Japanese style. And he's come in. Then he came to the table. And Kunsunim, you must have best seat. You must have best place, please. And they gave him all this food, you know, this Japanese style food. It's all like very, you know, this kind of plant. There's like a little, just a little nut, like right here. It's like a big, you know, they bring the plate, you know, four people, boom. And they carried him with four people. There's this big thing going up like this. It goes up, boom, and there's just like one little cherry on top, you know, and you ding, 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 ding. They take this thing away. And another thing, they bring this whole thing that's around like this. And there's a little piece of fish like this. With a, you know, and you know, so he's sitting there eating. But then suddenly he starts taking his food. And he starts smearing it on his clothing. He takes the food. He starts taking the food and smears it on his clothing. What's wrong? And he takes the expensive sake, you know, they give him this wonderful, and he just dumps it on himself. They said, what's wrong? And he said, I realize you are only feeding this nice clothing. You never wanted to feed me. You only wanted to feed this special person. I came to this house 1 hour ago, and you did not want to feed me. Now, when I'm clean and in this special clothing, you want to feed and take care of me. So I think you really want to feed this clothing more than me, because you will get more merit from feeding a special consumer. So I am feeding this clothing. So he picks up the food. He's feeding, mushing it in here like this. And they're... You know, we are sorry. You know, they very, you know, harikari, seppuku, and all of that. So, very interesting, this story. Many people expect some merit from something, but the Buddha points out, all merit is empty. All merit is empty. So, if you serve a king, or if you serve a Buddha, the merit is empty. You can't keep it. You can't measure it. You can't smell it. But, there's something there. That's all. So, great indeed, world-honored one. Wherefore? Because merit partakes of the character of no merit. The Tathagata characterized the merit as great. So, if you attain that this merit is empty, then this merit is great. The Buddha then said, on the other hand, if anyone received and retained even only 4 lines of this discourse and taught and explained them to others, his merit would be the greater. Wherefore? Because, Subhuti, From this discourse issue forth all the Buddhas and the consummation of incomparable enlightenment teachings of all the Buddhas. Sabuti, what is called the religion given by Buddha is not in fact Buddha religion. So, the 3,000 galaxies, 3,000 galaxies of merit, getting your son into Seoul National University or Harvard is a kind of merit. But that merit changes and returns to nothing. But there's a greater kind of merit. There's a greater kind of merit. Greater kind of merit is studying the Diamond Sutra, which means studying your own mind. What am I? So the greatest merit is mind study. What am I? That's the highest merit. Anyway, it's empty. But that merit never changes. Next is chapter 9. Chapter 9 is a very fast one because it's about Arahant practice. This chapter is very simple. It's all about the attainment of who are kind of Hinayana based on stages. Hinayana or Theravada practice based on stages. So the Buddha completely hits it. I'm going to go through this very quickly. Sabuti, what do you think? Does a disciple who has entered the stream of the holy life say within himself, I obtain the fruit of a stream entrant? Sabuti said, no, world-honored one. Wherefore? Because stream entrant is merely a name. There is no stream entering. The disciple who pays no regard to form, sound, odor, taste, touch, or any quality is called a stream entrant. Sabuti, what do you think? Does an adept who is subject to only one more rebirth say within himself, I obtain the fruit of once to be reborn? Sabuti said, no, world-honored one. Wherefore? Because once to be reborn is merely a name. There is no passing away nor coming into existence. The adept who realizes this is called once to be reborn. Sabuti, what do you think? Does a venerable one who will never be reborn as a mortal say within himself, I obtain the fruit of a non-returner? Sabuti said, no, world-honored one. Wherefore? Because non-returner is merely a name. There is no non-returning, hence the designation non-returner. Sabuti, what do you think? Does a holy one say within himself, I have obtained perfective enlightenment? No, world-honored one. Wherefore? Because there is no such condition as that called perfective enlightenment. World-honored one, if a holy one of perfective enlightenment said to himself, such am I, he would necessarily partake of the idea of an ego entity, a personality, a being, or a separated individuality. World-honored one, when the Buddha declares that I excel among holy men in the yoga of perfect quiescence, which is emptiness, in dwelling in seclusion and in freedom from passions, I do not say within my holy one of perfective enlightenment, free from passions. World-honored one, if I said within myself, such am I, you would not declare Sabuti finds happiness abiding in peace, in seclusion, in the midst of the forest. This is because Sabuti abides nowhere. Sabuti abides nowhere. Therefore, he is called Sabuti, joyful abider in peace, dweller in seclusion in the forest. So, this only is hitting something. This Shravakas, which is a kind of class or a school or a kind of tradition of meditating people who had stages of meditation. Stages of meditation. We have this now in Korea. There's this very famous group. Groups. Suryonhwe. Momo Suryonhwe. Momo-san, Momo-suryonhwe. Or a kind of sonwon. Where you go through levels of practice. First week, if you do the first week, if you pay $150, $200, you go to the first level. And if you come back for our next special course, you go to the next level. Another one is Momotar. Another group. And if you do this, you become our master level. You do another course, you become the super master wizard level. So, there are traditions that teach like that. That by a certain progression, your meditation is measured. But Buddhism's not like that. At least not this, the ultimate vehicle of Mahayana and Zen. Because you just enter through this door. Just that experience. Just hearing that. Just feeling that wind. The fan. Just that. That is the only level. Your life. This moment. So it's very interesting. All this is doing is it's just hitting this tradition of evaluating. So the Arahan that Subhuti is part of is this kind of graded level meditation. But it's still trapped by that. It's still trapped by that. But the true meditation that the Buddha talks about, true enlightenment, is no stages. I'm going to get 10 chapters done. So, this first chapter 9 is about Subhuti's experience as a Shravaka. Shravaka. In Hinayana Buddhism. Chapter 10 is the Buddha's career, the Buddha, his career as a Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva way. This Shravaka way is levels of advancement. Levels of purity. Levels of depth. But here, chapter 10 is very interesting. It's the Buddha's path as a Bodhisattva before he became a Buddha. Buddha said, Subhuti, what do you think? In the remote past, when the Tathagata was with Dipankara Buddha, did he have any degree of attainment in the good law, in Dharma? No, world-honored one. When the Tathagata was with Dipankara Buddha, he had no degree of attainment in the good law. Subhuti, what do you think? Does a Bodhisattva set forth any majestic Buddha lands? No, world-honored one. Wherefore? Because setting forth majestic Buddha lands is not a majestic setting forth. This is merely a name. The Buddha continued, therefore, Subhuti, all Bodhisattvas, lesser and great, should develop a pure, lucid mind, not depending upon sound, flavor, touch, odor, or any quality. A Bodhisattva should develop a mind that alights upon nothing whatsoever, and so should he establish it. Subhuti, this may be likened to a human frame as large as the mighty Mount Sumeru. What do you think? Would such a body be great? Subhuti replied, great indeed, world-honored one. This is because Buddha has explained that no body is called a great body. So very simple. Buddha realization is no realization. In the previous thing, the previous chapter, this Hinayana style is, I become this, I become once returner, I become a no returner, I become a something. I become something, that path. But here, nothing. When the Buddha was with this Dipankara Buddha, he had no attainment. So true attainment is no attainment. Just return to what you are. That's attainment. As Jesus said, same thing. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, become like a child. There's a little boy in my room today, my little Yubal Sangja. Cute little guy. Che Yun Sang from Chengju. He's about this big. He came today, all dressed in white mushy. Little guy, like this big. Really amazing. Total full of energy. He's my Yubal Sangja, kind of like little Dharma son. And he's, I gave him the name Bopsong, Dharma nature. And he's total Dharma, just running around. You give him something, he eats him, he's laughing. Chocolate is just coming out of his mouth, you know. Then he gets up, ding, 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 just dancing. Totally amazing. Just become one with his situation. There's no practice he needs to become that way. He's just like what he is. That's all. So I said to him today, De Do Mu Mun. I figure he's been my Yubal Sangja for a couple of years. I haven't taught him anything. You know, he's a little kid. What can I teach a little kid? I give chocolate. He eats the chocolate. That's enough. Then I thought I have to start teaching him something. So, great way, no gate. This Chinese characters, I taught him, de do mu mun. Then he went, de do mu mun. Then I said, de do mu mun. De do mu mun. Because he went, because he opened the door. He opened my door and he went, de do mu mun. That's great way, no, then he ran out and psh, the door slammed. De do mu mun. Already he became this great way, no gate. So very interesting. So very simple. This chapter 10 is very, very, very simple. The Bodhisattva's realization is no special realization. That time people expected if you were a Bodhisattva or a Buddha, you could do magic things. You could create a Buddha world. Just like people expected Jesus. If you're like this Jesus guy, you can do miracles. Yeah? These magic people, not just in India, in Israel too. If you were special, if you really had special energy, magic. Try some magic. We want to see magic. Then we believe you. But here it says, my realization is no special realization. And a bodhisattva's transformation is no special magic. That's not it. People expected magic, but he said, it's not special magic. Someone asked the Zen Master Sung San in a talk, oh, in America, I think you can do some special magic. I heard enlightened people can do special magic. And Zen Master Sung San said, yeah? And the guy said, yeah, I will believe you if you can show me special magic. And Zen Master Sung San said, okay. Just before I ate some food, then I got energy, I can give you this talk right now. And the guy said, that's not so magic. And Zen Master Sung San said, every day you do that, and you don't know what magic that is. You took this food, this object, you put it in your body, you got energy, and you can do something. That's my special magic. And the guy said, I don't understand. And Zen Master Sung San said, who are you? And the guy said, I don't know. I cannot answer. And Zen Master Sung San said, that's more of my magic. So very interesting. This Buddha magic is not some special make something. The Buddha continued, therefore, Subhuti, all bodhisattvas, lesser and great, should develop a pure, lucid mind, not depending upon sound, flavor, touch, odor, or any quality. A bodhisattva should develop a mind that alights upon nothing whatsoever, and so should he establish it. In the previous chapter, in chapter 9, they talked about no rebirth. No rebirth. You know, before, no rebirth. The goal is no rebirth. No rebirth. To the Hinayana practitioner, the Shravaka. No rebirth. You know, you have a once returner, a no returner, a nirvana case. But here, rebirth is just preparation. Again reborn. Again reborn. Again reborn. Again, again. This Buddha was many times serving Buddhas. That's how he became a Buddha. So, Subhuti, mate. This may be likened to a human frame as large as the mighty Mount Sumeru. What do you think? Would such a body be great? Subhuti replied, great indeed, world-honored one. This is because Buddha has explained that no body is called a great body. You know, everyone in Korea is very interested in this. Momjang. 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 But soon disappear. Soon disappear. That's not momjang. Buddha says, that's not impressive. Some great body, some great amount of merit. That's not so interesting. True amount of merit, true attainment is completely empty. Just life after life after life after life, life after life, this vow, this vow to save all beings, that's 진짜 몸짱. 마음짱. 마음짱. So that's this teaching of this. Before that, the teaching chapter 9, this ideal is no rebirth. Our goal in Buddhism is not come back. Cut everything. Cut passion. Cut desire. Cut anger. But, very interesting, this one's very interesting. Life after life after life after life. Not losing this vow. Not losing this vow that's greater than a mountain. A body like a mountain. Okay? Does anyone have any questions about that? We'll end here today. No questions? Okay, so this is very interesting. The point up into here is true merit. True merit is a mind that is charity for all beings, but is not expecting anything from that. And great functioning. Until this, the shravakas, until this, the kind of meditation ideal is meditate to stop everything. But a true Buddha, a true bodhisattva is not wishing for any reward, not wishing for any merit, because you can't hold it anyway. But life after life after life after life, keeping this vow, which is also empty, to save all beings. So, keeping that vow, we'll stop here at chapter 10, and I will ask everybody to look at the next 5 chapters before we meet again next week. Maybe you'll have some good questions. Thank you very much.